This is Real Talk with Eric Dawson and Osman Shabazz. Dawson, bringing you our 122nd episode of Real Talk. As you all know, Real Talk Radio is dedicated to providing pertinent information to the community, information that is rarely talked about because it's politically incorrect, and to give a voice to those who have been wronged, whether it's through politics, whether it's through business, whether it's being treated unfairly and on their job. Whatever the issue is that is afflicting members of the Essex County community, all the different towns, Eric and I try to bring it to the fore. So tonight, we're very, very happy to bring on the show Butchie Nieves, who is a staunch member of the Newark community, in particular, the Latino community. Butch has been out there for a long time doing great things for his community, and he's a stalwart of the Puerto Rican and Latino community. So to have him on is an honor as Real Talk plans to give more visibility to the Latino community in Newark and try to balance for our audience the entire city and all the communities that comprise the city. Butchie currently is involved in a lawsuit against Luis Quintana, who is the councilman at large, and he was aide to Mr. Quintana, Councilman Quintana. Apparently, there were some things that took place that Butchie feels that was inappropriate and that in some kind of way he was wronged. So tonight, Butchie will present his version of the event, and we'll give Councilman Quintana, if he would like, a response to it. But tonight, you're going to hear Butchie's side of the story, his perception of what happened, the inequity that he feels was meted out against him because he stood up for what he believed in and did not capitulate to the demands of his boss, which was Councilman Quintana. How's it going, Eric?
Going well, man. 122 episodes. I was trying to count how many months, how many weeks, how many, you know, it's a lot of shows. That's what it winds up being, right? You know, I think right. That we got to be closing in on 2.5 years.
Yeah.
You know, you know, something like that, right? So, and we're going to keep going. The ideas, I mean, and I know, Oz, that I was thinking about this today. A lot of people did not believe that we were going to continue. I think they thought that it was going to be a fad, that, you know, we were just going to, you know, be a lot of hot air. But we've stood the test of time. You and I have talked about this, too, that there have been other people who tried to create shows like this, but the authenticity has been lacking, and because of that, you know, they weren't successful. But I'm glad that we have the platform. I'm glad that we're more resident, and you know, and people in general. Like last week, we had Kareem Arnold on running for council, so these folks are starting to see the value of the platform and starting to take advantage of it. And I'm looking forward to, you know, just continuing. And I'm looking forward to this robust conversation with Butchie.
Yep. So let us, without further ado, bring Butchie on. And we have a lot to cover, Butchie. So
yes, we do.
You and I have, Yeah, you and I have had some conversations about the nature of the show. We don't censor anything. We don't try to have an advanced sketch of what our guests are going to say or what we're going to say or what questions we may ask. But I would like to proceed, if you're amenable to this. Let's first talk about the Latino community. A lot of our viewers, especially me, to be quite honest with you, when I was growing up in Newark, I never was ill in the North Ward, just to be honest with you. Until my father, eventually, after years, he opened up a warehouse on Orange Street, right over there in the North Ward. So that was my first time ever really spending any time over there. But I would just like you to talk about some of the challenges of the Latino community as you see it in Newark, and some of the progress that the community is making. I do know one thing. The Latino community is very resourceful. They have stores not only in the North Ward, but they have, you know, mom-and-pop stores in the South Ward and the West Ward. So I see that resiliency regarding the small businesses in Newark being mainly occupied and controlled by the Latino community. And I know Mayor Baraka made a video one time excoriating the Latino community for being entrepreneurs and expanding throughout Newark. But quite frankly, I look at that as an honor. I look at that as a people's spirit. And I look at that as a great thing, filling a void that hasn't been filled. So if you would just talk about the Latino community and give our viewers a heads up as to what's going on, the good, the bad, and the ugly, that would appreciate it. But I do know that when I share, a lot of people get pissed at me because I share a lot of the black shootings that are occurring, a lot of the crime, a lot of the carjacking, a lot of the murders. And just from that alone, who I'm seeing committing the shootings and the killings in terms of overwhelmingly, as African-American, I'm very disappointed. But if you would talk about your perception of the Latino community, that would be great.
Well, let me start a little bit. The Latino community comprised of Puerto Ricans, which were the first one that came, that migrated to Newark in 1948. Then the Cubans, then the Ecuadorians, then the Dominicans, then the Peruvians, and then a lot of South Americans started migrating to the city of Newark, all because of a good reason, because there was a lot of work during the late 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s. This was like a mecca specifically for the Puerto Rican community. My mom came here in 1948, and she came here from Violin, New Jersey, because she came to from Puerto Rico to Violin to pick up fruits and so on, vegetables, employment. Since then, I mean, the Puerto Rican community, Latino community, has exploded in the city of Newark. We as Puerto Ricans, we look at the city of Newark as our town. I mean, I've been in Newark for the past 60 years, okay? The Latino community, the Puerto Rican community, we look at this as one of our joys that we were able to come to work to this city. Now, just like every community, we have our goods and we have our bads. But as a young man here in the city of Newark, Butch Nieves was afforded the fact to attend Hawthorne Avenue School, because when I grew up in the South Newark, right? Then from there, I went to Sussex Avenue School. Then from there, I went to Barringer. And then from there, I went to Essex County College. I look at Newark as a mecca of a lot of good things. Now, one thing that you mentioned, that you see Latinos opening up stores throughout the whole city, understand this. Newark has the potential to be one of the number one spots to open up business, especially startup businesses, whether it's bodegas or computers and whatever you feel like opening up. We look at Newark as a potential of a lot of things. Now that there's crimes, there's crimes everywhere. But how do I look at it? Someone that's been here all my life, because I've been here in the city of Newark all my life, I look at it as We're on our way up. Yes, there's a lot of ugly things happening that I don't feel proud about, but I do feel proud that we're still here and we ain't going nowhere as far as our community is concerned. Now I'm mostly in the North. I happen to be the president of the Puerto Rican Day Parade for the past 3 years. I happen to be very proud of that, not only of being Puerto Rican and also being the president of the Puerto Rican Day Parade. I'm also very proud of being the president of the North Puerto Rican Day Parade. That means a lot to me. It means a whole lot to me because as a Puerto Rican and a Latino, we need to establish ground everywhere we go, especially if you've been here all your life like I have. Now, in the process of doing that, I opened up nightclubs here in the city of Newark. I happened to open up Docks in 1976. Prior to that, I used to have a company called Traveling Disco Sound that I did Ebony Manor. I did Weekway High, West Side High. We did Shabazz, which at that point, back then it was called Southside, right?
Right.
I want you to understand that Newark is not new to me. Newark is not new specifically to the Puerto Rican community. I mean,
right.
In 1974, there was a huge, ugly riot in Bradshaw Park where racism played a real big role on our Puerto Rican community. Unfortunately, I'm a victim of that riot. I'm a victim in the way where the police, I'm a victim of police brutality here in the city of Newark because of that riot. But that goes to say that although you pass through a lot of situations in the city, you stay here and you keep on moving forward because my daughter was raised here. My mom, since the age of 14, she was in Newark. She passed away in Newark. She's a success story as a Puerto Rican woman because she came here with an eighth grade education from Puerto Rico, ended up getting a master's in social worker. She worked for DIFAS for 27 years right here in the city of Newark. Like, why am I telling you? I'm telling you all this that we as a community, we have paid the price just like everyone else that migrated to Newark in those tumultuous time of the 50s and the 60s, but we stood here and we're still here because it's important for us that as the city is making this turnaround, is doing this new leap into the new North, that we are part of the fabric, specifically the Puerto Rican community, that we are part of the progress and we're part of the solution. I'm a solution kind of person. I always look at life as, fine, this happened, well, then what happens next? I'm also the kind of person that you take a strike at me, I am definitely going to defend myself in any means necessary, which is the predicament that I'm in my life right now. But we'll get onto that in a little while.
Right.
As far
now,
as
how many Puerto Ricans are in Newark?
We are right now 38,000 strong in the city of Newark, almost reaching 40,000. But most impressively, we're almost 800,000 in the state of New Jersey. That's a big number. This is not nothing
right.
to sneeze at. Okay, we have a buying potential. We have an intelligent potential. We definitely have a community that, if you know any Puerto Rican, the first thing they're gonna tell you, wow, those are proud people. They don't play, man. We're proud in every sense of being Puerto Rican, in every sense of being here in the United States. Right now, we're going through some interesting times in Puerto Rico, but still, we keep on moving forward. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I know you want to ask your question. Go ahead.
And then I'm gonna let Eric chime in. What is the genesis of that entrepreneur spirit? Because when I do go into South Florida, if I'm in the West Florida, wherever ward I am, I do see Puerto Rican businessmen and women, you know, opening up their stores And it's just amazing to me, that entrepreneurial spirit. Where did that come from? And that's, you know, like I said, some people have a problem with that. Specifically, the mayor gave a speech about it, you know, during his standing on the soapbox days and really excoriated your community for having the entrepreneurial spirit to open up stores all over the city. But where did that come from? that spirit that I'm just not going to sit around. I see opportunities. I'll go anywhere where there's a potential and open up my bodega, open up my store, and serve any community and not just the Latino community.
That is right there. You hit the nail right on the head. We as a Puerto Rican community and Latino community, we look at opportunities as for everyone. We embrace everyone. We don't mind going into the worst areas or even in the worst circumstances and try to better ourselves. It's all about bettering ourselves. Like I told you, when my mom came here, she came in with an eighth grade education. She didn't come here to live off the welfare or food stamp. No. Okay? The majority of the Puerto Rican Latino community, they come here to exercise what we call the American right of to growth, the American right of that dream. We don't look at North, no matter where part of North, as something that is going to stop us from moving forward. You got to understand this, Osman and Eric. As a Puerto Rican male like myself, you come, you assess the situation, and then you make the best of it. It's like when I opened up Docs in 1976, I was 19 years old. I opened up a nightclub on the corner of Broad Street and Market. That was the worst area that you could have opened up a nightclub. But I saw the potential of it. I also had the opportunity to go into a location that was already established, a little nightclub, and I turned it into a 10-year success story. I did that because, and now I'm talking about me specifically, because you're asking me, what is that fire? What is that need to progress? See, I always look, and my community always look, you make the better of everything. If you have lemons, you make amazing lemonade. And you add other flavors to it, and you have the soul to it, and you add the sabor to it, and it becomes what we call a success story. Me, from that point on that I opened up a nightclub in 1976, I mean, I went all the way to 1992 owning and running nightclubs. Very proud to be in North. It didn't matter. I went from downtown North. I went to Brantford, downtown Broad Street and Market. I went to Brantford Place and helped manage a club called Sensation. From there, I shot over to the North, and I ran a club called Studio One. From there, I shot over to Orange Street, probably in the same location as your dad, the warehouse. And I opened up a club called 280, okay? It was in the corner of First Street and Orange Street. This was all the spirit of progressing, the spirit of wanting to do something. And if someone hates me or my community for doing that, shame on them. If anything that should be done back then and now, it's encouraged us to grow, because this is the way I look at North. North, when Sharp Jane was the mayor, this was called the melting pot, the Renaissance city, okay? And we felt very strong as a community to be part of that growth. As when Booker came in, forget it, the Puerto Rican community loved Booker because he opened up so many doors for our community. I mean, I was one of them that was blessed by knowing someone like Booker that was able to open up and put so many good people in good positions and good opportunities. So that is the spirit that we carry. It's not a magic bullet. It's wanting to do better, wanting to progress. And the interesting about specifically the Puerto Rican community, we embrace everyone. We embrace everyone, no matter where we go, no matter who you are or who you're not. We embrace you because we as a community believe that's what makes everyone grow. That's the way I look at it.
Excellent.
So, no, I mean, I think that's a great assessment of the Puerto Rican community. One of the things that I did notice, though, Butchie, during the 2014 election, there still seemed to be, I don't know if the word divide is the correct word, but between, like, there was a clear delineation between the African American community, the Latin community, and I'm going to say really in the North and in some of the central or wards,
and then what goes down in the East Ward. What do you think that it'll take to really create a true melting pot where all of those communities are intermingled, or do you think that'll ever happen in North?
Absolutely. Well, I believe that happens when you work from within, when you use the folks that have put in the time, have talked the walk and done the walk here in the city of North. Like, I have a real big problem, a huge problem, whether it was Booker or the current mayor right now. When you bring outside folks, like our deputy mayor, Jacqueline Quiles, bring her from Perth Amboy, New Jersey, to come and represent our community, that would never help our community to grow and to unite. What it takes, you got to work from within. You got to tap those untapped resources of our community. So when we go after something and we're going to do something, we know that we're dealing with folks that have a vested interest in the city, have a vested interest in growth, and definitely have a vested interest in being successful. But when you pull out people and folks that come to work to our city and come to our city which way we should do or not do, and they're outsiders, I have a real big problem. And I believe that will always stop the growth of our community.
Why do you think the mayor did that, Butchie?
My opinion, and this is my opinion, okay, something happened within our leadership, and I could almost point fingers, but I won't, okay, within our and I'm talking about Puerto Rican leadership, that felt that there were not enough good Puerto Rican women here in the city of North to select an amazing Puerto Rican deputy mayor, okay? I believe, and again, I could point fingers, but I won't. I believe that someone within our Puerto Rican leadership, okay, neglected to say to the mayor or to whoever was asking for a recommendation and point out some good Puerto Rican women that could have been an amazing, amazing deputy mayor. Because deputy mayor is a glorified A. Okay, let's put it that way. It's a glorified A. But the way I look at it, it's if you bring someone from Perth Amboy, which right away the mayor brought someone here that he should have never brought in this city, that you should have seen the outcry and the outrage when this woman was brought from Perth Amboy to become deputy mayor. Okay, that right there created, like, in my opinion, it created like a turmoil within our own community. It created
Is she Puerto Rican?
She is Puerto Rican, and she happens to be a woman. But what does she know about being Puerto Rican in the city of North? Lady, you never lived a minute. Now you live here.
Maybe she could bring
city.
A different perspective, Butchie. Not just being from New York, but if she's a Borincana, and she's a Puerto Rican, and she's your sister, and she lives in another town, the fact that she comes from Perth Amboy to Newark, but she's still one of you. Because the Puerto Ricans is not just a new community.
No,
isn't it
a
national and a world community?
No. Let me tell you something. As a Puerto Rican, but as a Puerto Rican male that have paid the price of racism in this city, that have paid the price of the worst kind just to be in the city, to have someone come out of this city to come and represent us, it's an insult to our intelligence. It's an insult to what we could bring to the table. I think this was done deliberately to manipulate our existence in the city, to manipulate our growth in the city. That's what I think it was brought here for. That she's a Boricua, that she's a woman, that she's a Puerto Rican sister. Listen, let me tell you something about growth and wanting to move forward when it comes to this city. If you don't understand the terrain, you ain't going to be here when the shit hits the fan. You're going to pick up and leave the city, and we're going to have to deal with it. Like, the first time in the history, I'm sorry? Okay. The first time in the history, the first time in the history that this has happened, that an outsider has been brought to represent our community here, it's when they brought Jacqueline Quiles to to be deputy mayor. That's insulting. It's still insulting. And I will never, ever accept that. Me and a lot of folks. Unfortunately, Quintana decided to accept her and decided to how do you call it, see no problem with it now, because the minute she came in 2014, right, not 2014, because she actually came April 1st of 2015, April Fool's Day. Anyway, he had a problem. He had a problem with her being here. Why are you going to bring an outsider with so many good, intelligent, educated Puerto Rican women that could have been selected? In 2016, Councilman Quintana did a turnaround. I don't know if that turnaround was spiritually or financially or whatever it was. All I know is all of a sudden he started defending her, and I found myself by myself fighting the person, the very person that was keeping our growth going backwards, to the point that this woman came here, okay? When this woman came here, I was asked by a lot of folks, could you please give her the opportunity? Could you please do that? And I
right.
did that, okay? And I did that, and I said, I felt the way you felt. Oh, she's a Boricua woman, blah, 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 blah. No sooner this woman comes in here and she, a month into her office, she comes in to attend one of our events, one of the Puerto Rican Day Parade events, and for whatever reason, her name was not mentioned because she got late to the place. And guess what happened? Oh, this organization better start respecting me, because I will make sure they will get no permits for this organization, for the parade. We hit the roof. Remember, this woman used to be the president of this organization from 2006 to 2012. 2012, this lady abandoned this organization and ruined it, to the fact that with the past 3 years, what we've been trying to do is repair the disaster that this woman caused to this organization, which is why I always felt that she shouldn't have been elected or selected or appointed deputy mayor representing a community that is so vibrant in this community. Because in North, there's two communities that stand out from the moment that you say North. One is the African-American community, and the other one is the Puerto Rican community. How dare they bring that woman in here? Which hence
okay.
is where...
Let's transition, because actually she's part of the story.
Absolutely.
A small part of the story with this whole beef and lawsuit that you have with Quintana. So why don't we just start from the beginning, from your perspective. What is the basis of your lawsuit? What happened, and what is your perspective on why you were treated unjustly, inequitably, and actually transitioned out of your position as an aide to mayor, Councilman Quintana?
Well, I'm going to give you a brief little history of Butchie Nieves and Councilman Quintana, back then Deputy Mayor Quintana. In 1989, I was the owner of Club 280. I was approached to attend a meeting to try to elect the first Puerto Rican councilman at large. When I go to the place, the gentleman or the young man happens to be Deputy Mayor Luis Quintana. From 1989 all the way to 2016, which was when I was terminated, exactly Friday, December 9th, 2016, I've been next to this person, making sure that everything and anything that needed to be done was done to make sure that he was successful, that he was progressive and moving forward as a very well-known Puerto Rican that I am in the city of Newark, and I'm very proud of that, because no matter where you go and you mention my name, they're going to say, oh, yeah, Butchie, whether you know me through my nightclubs or do you know me through being in the political arena, or whether you know me from just being the person. Oh, well, I was also elected to the school board in 2000, okay, from the North Public Advisory Board. I've been involved into a lot of things. So everything that I have done it in the good faith of helping Councilman Quintana stay where he's at and moving forward, because if he moves forward, our community moves forward, Newark moves forward. But what has happened is all of a sudden in 2014, okay, I become president of the North Puerto Rican Day Parade. I've always been involved with the Puerto Rican Parade in different positions, but never as president. As I become president, now remember, I was employed from 2005 to 2016 by in Councilman Quintana's office as a legislative aide. My duty was to do everything and anything at any time and at any day for Councilman Quintana on behalf of the North community. When I became president, I became probably one of the most popular and most, sought after Puerto Rican leader, because now I'm the president of the Puerto Rican Parade. When you're a president of an organization as the Puerto Rican Parade, that transcends into a lot of good things. Good things for our community, good things for the progress, and good things for especially Councilman Quintana, right? But what I noticed was that as I became president, now I felt like Quintana, Councilman Quintana, felt that he owned the parade or he controlled the parade for some degree. And I always kept my dividing my job and the Puerto Rican parade, because it was just not healthy to have them both in the same room, okay? So as I kept on going, again, you already heard the situation with Deputy Mayor Jacqueline Quiles, right? I have always advocated to put there someone better, that we could do a lot better. So now one of my allies during that situation was Councilman Quintana, my boss. All of a sudden, 2016 hits the day of January 1st, and all of a sudden, I see Councilman Quintana and Deputy Mayor Jacqueline Quiles, buddy. And I'm like, okay. But, you know, you let it go. You go, hey, he's a politician. He got to do whatever he has to do, right? Now, all of a sudden, where I'm finding myself like I'm like at a battle with him over what the organization should be doing or not doing. And I always, again, I kept my arm length away from him, like, you know, I listen to you as a boss, but I'm not going to listen to you as a president of the Puerto Rican Day Parade. Okay, so now I was asked by a few folks to put together a festival on behalf of the North Ward, where it was North Ward Central, and probably some of the West community, which was called the North Ward Multicultural Festival. And I started putting it together, and then these folks had asked me to put this event together. They said, we're going to raise the money, and Quintana was one of them, okay? And they all committed to raise a substantial amount of money to do the festival that we want to do in Bradshaw Park, right, July 16th. Of 2016. And all of a sudden I find myself in an interesting conversation with Councilman Quintana that, I was not able to raise my share, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, well, you know, I don't know what to tell you about that. You got to talk with the folks that got together to do this event. So he tells me, you should make a donation to help me out. And I go, listen, let me explain. A donation from where? I don't got no money. I make a misery salary working for you. I mean, I've been with you over 15 years, and if I make $50,000, it's a lot of money. I do this more for the accomplishment of moving our community forward. No, you know, help out with the Puerto Rican Parade. No. So
you know, it's interesting that you bring that up, because one of the things I ask myself when I read the documents, I said, okay, mm-hmm. He's asking Butchie, according to you. The councilman asked you for $10,000. I said, Butchie must have a lot of money for him to approach him and ask him for $10,000, because that's not chump change.
A lot of money.
So it's interesting that you said that your source of income was working for him. In some kind of way, he's asking you for $10,000 as this, you're a big shot or something.
Well, let me explain to you a little bit. When one of the things that we were fortunate enough as the president of the Puerto Rican Parade with the committee, which is in total seven of us, Right. We were able to turn this organization around to the point where Deputy Mayor Jacqueline Keeler has left it with $130,000 debt to the city and to the county with all the events that she was doing but never paid her bills, okay, which was one of the reasons I had this real big anger about why would you bring someone that has that kind of debt to the city and to the county. And what we did was we turned the organization around and we made it accountable. We made it transparent, and we made it solid. We made it into a nonprofit organization that was now on strong legs, not only spirit wise and project wise, but financially. We brought back every sponsor that was used to sponsor the organization. We almost brought all of them back, including companies that turned their backs on the organization because the mismanagement that Deputy Mayor Jacqueline Killis did with this organization. So Councilman Quintana knew exactly what he was saying and why he was saying. He knew that the organization at that particular moment had a substantial amount of money in the account, okay, to sustain the organization and to keep it where it had gone in the past year and a half back then. And where he knew that that suggestion that he made, right, was made with knowledge of where that money was going to come from, okay? And the interesting part about that is that I always looked at Quintana as a brother. I always looked at as someone that for so many years has stood next to him and for so many battles that we have won and lost together as brothers and as working together in this life of politics and a life of progress in the city of North. Mm-hmm. If anybody that I thought that needed to give it a second chance not to bring this out to the open when it happened was him. Because I could have very easily set him up, very easily done things where he would have gotten that money. But guess what? I did. I chose not to do none of that. I chose to take the high road and say, you know, he's a brother. Give him the opportunity to redeem himself. Give him the opportunity to find the fault of what he did when he made. And the guy, instead of looking at that beautiful opportunity that was given to him, and say, and let me take this and turn it around. But you know what he does? He starts chastising me as president of the Puerto Rican Day Parade. He starts manipulating everything and anything that will make me look bad. He started making life impossible, not only with the Puerto Rican Day Parade, but also with my job. With the very folks that we have campaigned for many, many years, he was out there talking bad about me. He was, I mean, he had me in the worst point of my life, and I'm going to tell you why. Because what I thought that he should not be doing, he was doing it and then some. You know what's to have a councilman of the city of North slander you in ways where community is calling you and asking you, listen, why is Quintana saying this about you? Why is Quintana saying that about you? And why is Quintana and Jacqueline Killis talking so bad about you? You know, we don't get this, Butchie, because what happens with Butchie when Butchie and his committee turned around the organization, one of our pride and joy, the Puerto Rican Day Parade, okay? You turn it around and you make it successful. You make it relevant again. You make it to be proud again. And instead of Councilman Quintana as a Puerto Rican talking good about Butchie, which happens to be his employee, this guy is dragging my name through the mud to everyone and anybody that will listen to him. I mean, even African American people were calling me and said, Butch, you know, just got off the phone with Quintana. He has you through the floor. I told him, listen, Butch is my boy, man. We go back all the way to the 70s, you know, doing all kind of stuff here. And they said, how am I going to listen to you, Quintana, talk bad about Butch? That's how bad it got. So, you know, guess what? I let it go, and I'm like, listen, Butch, tension, just keep on moving forward. You know, do your job for him as an employee, do your job as the Puerto Rican Parade president, and just keep on moving forward. Now,
through all of the phone calls, all of the slander, through all of the anxiety that you say you went through, did you go as all of that was happening and have a conversation with Councilman Quintana to ask him why he was doing that?
That's a very interesting question that you asked, okay? You know, he did not want to deal with me whatsoever. Ever since that suggestion that he made for donation, he did not want to spend a second with me alone. He did not want to address me. I even tried to get other friends of ours, which were ours, in our circle to try to set up meetings, and he would, all the meetings, turn them down. No. And he would tell those folks, stay away from him, but he's no good, but he's this, but he's that. So I'm like, wait a minute. They're blocking me in every way. Yes, I still have a job, but they're blocking them every way. So the attempt, yeah, it was there by me. Trust me, I've tried plenty of times through other folks that he admire and he respect, and he would tell them no, outright no. So, yes, I tried many, many times. Then it got even worse. Now an election for the Puerto Rican Day Parade president, because it's every 2 years, and now I find out that him, Councilman Quintana, and Deputy Mayor Jacqueline Cleese went in and picked a candidate, and they're, you know, campaigning for him and advocating for him and dragging my name to the mud. I mean, in ways that I was like, oh, my God, you know. Now not only I have to deal with this on the fact of what happened, now I have to deal with this with an election that's coming. The fortunate part about that is that I ran the election, I left it on the voters' hands, okay, and I was victorious. The bad thing about that was that on Sunday I win the election, on Monday I go to work all happy, and the locks of my office has been changed. So I'm like, oh, my God. I didn't have a second to celebrate my victory, which was a hard race. Mind you, I went through a month and a half, almost 2 months, of knowing that Quintana and Jacqueline, Councilman Quintana and Deputy Mayor Jacqueline Kelly were out there advocating and trashing my name, saying anything and everything to try to get people not to vote for me. I was victorious, and I won very good, really, really good. But the fact
so
that when
the basis
I went to work,
of your let's get down to the basis of your lawsuit. At the end of the day, your story sounds very convincing, and even if I wanted to get rid of you, I wouldn't get rid of you the day after the victory. I would have waited another month or so. So what? How are you going to prove all of these allegations? That's what it's going to boil down to, Butchie.
Well, the bottom line is this. In the in the 11 years that I was actually employed by Councilman Quintana, there was not one reprimand, not one write-up, not one right sit-down. I was an exemplary employee, okay? Mm-hmm. When you send a letter to terminate, the letter doesn't have an explanation why you're terminating me, why, you know, like, what's the basis behind all this? But if you are... If you could add one and one that comes to two, you see the writing.
Mm.
Oh, this was definitely a political retaliation because he didn't get a line, because he didn't act the way I wanted him to act, and because he didn't do what I told him to do. Well, guess what? This is what you get. That is where you come and you start deducting and you start putting all those little pieces together and say, Then, remember, behind all this was Deputy Mayor Jacqueline Keeley, which for many different reasons, you know, she also wanted me out of the way, okay?
Well,
so
she's irrelevant in a certain way because you didn't work for her. The relevant party is Councilman Quintana. So your suit is basically for wrongful termination. Is that basic the basis of your suit, wrongful termination?
Well, here's the interesting thing. Because I always thought that you work at the will, you're an at-will employee, and you work at the pleasure of the council person or the mayor or whomever, unless you're civil service. But I've noticed, Butchie, that in your lawsuit, you are claiming SEPA, in other words, Conscientious Employee Protection Act, and you're saying that you're covered under that. And so what I did, just for the listeners, I pulled it up, and this is what it says. It says, irrespective of whether or not you're an at-will employee, that employer is prohibited, it prohibits any retaliatory action against an employer because the employee discloses or threatens to disclose to the supervisor or to a public entity any activity, policy, or practice of the employer that is a violation of a law or a rule or regulation. And so are you contending that because what you were asked to do was in violation either of a law, a rule, or regulation, you were within your right to say no, and your firing by Councilman Quintana was a direct result of you exercising your right according to this particular statute to say no?
Absolutely. The interesting part about it, when I went to attorneys, I explained to them the story of how I got fired. I explained that at will, but they asked me questions like, wait a minute, why did you get fired? What led to this? And when I explained to them the story, that's where they came up and say, wait a minute, this is not a wrongful termination. This is, he broke the law because he asked you for something. You said no. Actually, you said hell no. Okay? So then it was a buildup of how to get rid of you. Not only he wanted to get rid of your job, he wanted to get rid of you as president of the Puerto Rican Day Parade. He wanted to crush you completely. And the fact that he was not able and the fact that how he went at it is, it was a retaliation, which that's what how I fall under that law. Under that violation that Quintana did. And again,
right.
I didn't even know that I fell into that. And to the attorney said, whoa. Explain this again. And they went back to the donation, right? He said, wait a minute. You know, he could have said that and gotten away with it. But when he fired you, now he put you directly under a law that's called, he used that word conscientious. Blah, 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 blah. I'm like, oh, shoot, really?
Mm-hmm.
He said, yeah, you're basically a whistleblower. You're basically telling the courts and the lawsuit that this guy, fired you for saying what he said to you, and then by you not doing it, he acted upon it. He said, yep.
Right.
One
thing he had in his favor was that he didn't fire you immediately after asking for you to raise $10,000. So he let you hang around for quite a while. But the moment you won the Puerto Rican Day Parade presidency, and then on that Friday or whatever it was, and then Monday you come in, you're fired and your doors are locked, that's very strong circumstantial evidence that plays into a lot of the things you're saying.
Absolutely. And it's documented where he also retaliated against me and the organization when the Puerto Rican Day Parade took place and the festival right of the Puerto Rican Day Parade. And he sabotaged a lot of the services that were supposed to be supplied by him through the city as a councilman, what they call a resolution. Like every festival that they do in the city of North, a councilman or the mayor they, well, mostly the councilmen, they created a resolution to help their nonprofit organization do their festival, and they do that by the services when it comes to whether it's sanitation or it's porta-johns or barricades or stage. And he, his duty this year, requested by him, was for him to do that. And he did none of the such. If you would have seen the garbage that was left there, okay, on the after the festival, the year before, another councilor did the resolution, and everything went perfect. The sanitation was there, the garbage bags were there, the barricades were there, stage were there, the porta-johns were there. But this year, none of that was supplied. None of that. And the worst part about it was after the festival is when I came to notice this guy really sabotaged his organization. That garbage was on Verona Avenue for 2 days. 2 days. I was getting calls left and right from the residents and business owners of Verona Avenue. What's going on with this garbage? Blah, 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 blah. And I will definitely start shooting the calls right over to the councilman, right over to the council. Mind you, I'm still working for him, but I knew already he had sabotaged the organization, and he had sabotaged just to make me look bad, because their plan was all along was to, if we could get him to not be president, okay, if we could get him fired, because he had control of that, we could get him completely out of the picture, and whatever he does or does not try to do to me because of the request I made from, it's not going to be strong enough because he's going to be done, and we're going to break his spirit. But unfortunately,
if what you're saying is true, I tell you, boy, he sounds like one of the most vindictive politicians, even Mayor Baraka. I don't know if he's that bad. He sounds very, very vindictive, if what you're saying is true, from your opinion. And he just, you know, it's just amazing. The lengths he'll go to punish somebody who crosses him or didn't follow his directive or request, you know, for $10,000. It's amazing, boy. You know, he goes all out.
Well, it's not just the $10,000. It's the fact that his employee, Butchie Nieves, Nelson Butchie Nieves, was supposed to get in line when it came to the Puerto Rican Day Parade.
Right, right.
You know, it's beyond the money.
Right.
It's just the fact that, you know, now probably two other politicians and other business owners says, yeah, don't worry, I got the Puerto Rican Parade because my employee is the president of that. Probably he was pumping his chest with the organization, and when I said, nah, it doesn't happen that way. Okay, maybe instead of being, oh, it's just the money. No, it had a lot more to do than just the money.
Right.
The money was the legal part of it. The other one was ego. The other one was after being in public service for the past 30 years in the city of Newark, you know, the last person that's going to be humiliated or whatever he thought that I was doing, right, was him. You know, life has this thing called karma, man. You can't do these things, man. Especially when, you know, in all honesty, in my heart, I haven't done nothing wrong. All I wanted to do was to bring an organization that Deputy Mayor Jacqueline Quiles dug to the deepest hole that you could find and bring it back to life so I could feel proud and my community could feel proud again to be in Puerto Rican.
So he wanted her to be the president of the parade, correct? And not you. He wanted you to stand down, correct?
I don't know if that was the plan, but I definitely know that her and Councilman Quintana got together and got a candidate and everything. I guess the candidate that they wanted was going to allow them to do whatever they felt like doing with the organization. Okay?
Right.
For again,
so like the school board now. The way the politics works
at
the school board.
I tell you one thing. if you have an organization that can mobilize a Puerto Rican community to feel proud about candidates and to do things on behalf of whatever candidate, I think it's better, bigger than the Board of Education. This is huge. Okay?
No, I'm not talking about this one. I was just using that as an example.
Oh.
of people wanting certain people in place that they control in order to get them to do what they want them to do, whether it's the Board of Education, whether it's the Puerto Rican Day Parade, whether it's a particular councilman even.
Right.
We've seen in Newark, especially Eric and I, that they tell people who's going to run, who's going to step down, who's, you know, we know that happens. And
it
appears that you're saying that's what's happened to you.
Well, yep, with Councilman Quintana, I definitely believe that I either did what he wanted me to do or this is what I get, okay? Especially when I already told him from a request, no, hell no, I ain't doing that. Now, and again, you know, you got to understand this. I come from a fabric of Puerto Ricans that we do things correct. We do things for the last forever, and we don't do it for egos, okay? We do it for the fact that it's going to benefit everyone, everyone. You know, I refer to the African-American community a lot because, again, I grew up with the African-American community. And
right.
The African-American community saw that Butchie was brought that organization and it benefit everyone, okay? So when Quintana felt that he no longer had control of me, I assumed that the only natural reaction from him was to do what he did to me. And again, I did not know that he had broken the law until I went to see a lawyer.
Right.
I did not know. I said, well, you know, and when they tell me, no, this is what you came here for, that's the least of the problem. This is huge.
Right.
An elected official, he can't say that. He can't do it. He can't even suggest it. And he did, and he fired you for it. Oh, no, this is me. So, you know, this is how I live my life now.
Well, I mean, I think that, you know, when we talk, Oz, about the culture of politics in Newark, and when we talk about people, citizens who want to step up and do good work, but intimidation, retaliation, all of those things are what they're met with. You know, it's no wonder why, in many ways, the community there is spinning its wheel in the mud, you know, and having a platform like this for folks to come out and to air these grievances so that we can get to the bottom of it. You know, and Butchie has decided to pursue legal action. That's the recourse, and we'll see where that goes. And my hope is that, you know, and I'll tell you, you know, sometimes you just, you know, people, right? And I know these are allegations, but, you know, I know both parties in this case, and I know them very well. And so, you know, it just breaks my heart that, you know, that it, you know, for power grab, and that's really what it comes down to, a power grab, that it has come to this, and that the councilman or somebody, whoever it was, put people in the community at risk by not cleaning up the garbage and that kind of stuff. And so that extended beyond whatever the gripe was that they had with Butchie, and it extended into the community, you know, and they didn't care. The community just became collateral damage for them to fulfill this power grab. And I'm just a little disheartened by it. But Butchie, I want to thank you for sharing the story, man. And I would hope that you would keep us, you know, keep us up on what's going on with the lawsuit, how that's working.
Yeah,
well, thank you.
Thank you so much, Butchie, for coming on. And we look forward to seeing more developments. And please keep us up to date. And if it heats up, and especially if you're victorious, we'll definitely have you back on the show to explain the details of the judge's ruling one way or the other.
Excellent. I will. Thank you. I mostly worry about what retaliation him and his folks are going to try to take against the Puerto Rican Day Parade organization. We're keeping a close eye on that, a very, very close eye.
And we will keep
thank
an eye
you
on
so much.
As well.
Thank you,
you.
Butchie.
Okay, good night.
Good night.
We're going to keep an
Real
eye on
Talk.
This,
yeah. It sounds just so familiar, man. You know, technically, I got to give the councilman the benefit of the doubt to tell his story, but I tell you, it sounds like a blueprint that you and I have read before. Real Talk, baby. Every Wednesday, 7 p.m., Osman Shabazz and Eric Dawson bringing you that live, politically incorrect stuff that we know you love, whether you like to hear it or not.
Real Talk. This is Real Talk with Eric Dawson and Osman Shabazz. Listen to Real Talk live every Wednesday, 7 p.m.